30 days plus he could give over here. It says, Vayibrach Yaakov's Dearon, Vayavod Yisrael B'isho B'isha Shamar. Now, this is a very, very interesting part of Hosea. It happens to be that although we didn't do this on purpose last week, this is a perfect stopping point. Like, it's almost like a brand new parak. Okay, Yaakov ran into the field of Aram. He served, Yisrael then served for a wife, and for a wife he darted down a problem. Here it comes. So, this is what ended up happening over here. We all know why Yaakov ran into Sidei Aram. Sidei Aram is the area of Aramia, that's where Laban was. He did that to run away from Esau. He did that in order to run away from Esau. Now, Vayavod Yisrael B'isha is that Yisrael worked in order to gain a wife. Okay, in order to gain his wife. And then, U'B'isha Shamar, he had to guard it again, he had to do it again for another wife. So that's the line that Yaakov was fooled by Laban and ended up taking two wives altogether. Now, there's a lot of different things. You should just know there are midrashim that are learned out from these psukim over here about the whole thing of the evil in Laban Garti that he's able to keep the 613 mitzvahs is a reference over here to the word U'B'isha Shamar. Some say that the Torah can be called an Isha, and that he guarded the mitzvahs, that he guarded whatever Torah was that he actually had, right? Others say that really it wasn't just because he was running away from Esav. He was told by Rivka that he had to go and get a wife. I mean, he was at the time 63 years old, possibly 77, spending his went to Yeshiva Shem Be'Efer. It was quite a time for him to get married, right? So that would have been there. Others say that the whole idea of the Isha Shamar is a reference to Eliyahu Hanavi. That Eliyahu Hanavi was the one they were referring to over here. Remember, there's always a connection between Eliyahu and Yaakov, because Yaakov is sometimes spelled with the vav, and Eliyahu sometimes is spelled without the vav, as in Eliyah. So somehow there is a connection between those two and what happened over there. So anyway, regardless, that's the idea behind it. Okay, we're up to the next part of here. Uvenavi Hela Hashem is Yisrael. Then by a navi, Bnei Yisrael, who brought Bnei Yisrael up from Mitzrayim, Uvenavi Nishmor, and through that navi, through that slave, he was able to guard them. Now that's a reference to obviously Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going from Yaakov Avinu to Moshe Rabbeinu, that they were shepherds that took over for Bnei Yisrael and allowed them to be taken out of Egypt, and that's the idea behind it. Now it's possible Navi Nishmor refers to the entire era of the Shofar, meaning taking Yisrael, Neil ben Kenaz, Eiv ben Gera, Sham Gar ben Enos, and it's going all the way through. But regardless, it just means that Bnei Yisrael was taken care of during that time itself, and since there was a Navi that was in charge, there was a Navi that was always able to protect them whenever they needed to be protected. In Pasuk Tesvav, he hits Ephraim Tamurin, and nonetheless, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them that Navi, even though he guarded them, even though he made sure, and even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them the whole time during the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yaakov, etc., Ephraim provoked God to anger, so to speak. That Tamurim is almost to bitterness, making a very, very bitter, bitter idea. The dumb of Allah Yitosh, his blood money is going to be upon him. Bechar Paso Yashalo Adonim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to return to him his own cherpa, his own evil that goes over there. And that's the idea. Obviously, this is a reference to Yerubim and what happened with Yerubim in Avot, and it's going to come right back to him so that Ephraim is going to be destroyed.
I'm confused.
What's up?
What was the point of the last three psukim?
The last three psukim was saying that, as we just said, right, that there are certain things that in Gila they had done so many things wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, listen, Yaakov Avinu went into the field of Ram, he was chased away, and he did what he needed to do in order to get a wife, and because HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically sent him out there. You went down to Mitzrayim, and you were in Golos, and you were taken care of. Had you been here, you would have been taken care of as well. Had you not paid attention to me and had you given me back a little bit, the way that Yaakov made his shvatim do, or he did himself, or the way Moshe Rabbeinu acted, this would have happened to you as well, and you would have been taken care of, but you didn't, and therefore I never guarded you, and you just did evil, and for that you're lost completely. That's the idea behind what was going to happen, what happened over here. And we have two brachim left in Hosea. Parak Yud Gimel says, Kedaber Ephraim Reseis Nasod. This is going to be the end of Ephraim. When Ephraim spoke, there was a lot of trembling. Okay, Nasu be Yisrael. He exalted himself as the king over Israel, but Yashem Babal Yamos. But he became guilty by getting involved with all the idols, and he died. So to speak, he became so evil, it was better that he were dead. That he was so evil, that that's what ended up happening. But the people of Achso, they continued to sin. They made their own molten idols, Mikasfam, right, from their own silver, according to their understanding. It says, Atzab in Masech HaRoshim, these are little idols, little, you know, getchkes that are craftsmen's work. Kulo Lahem, right? All of them are the following. Zochei Adam HaGolim Yishakun. They say that there are men, they say that these are the men who go and they kiss the calves and sacrifice, right? Sacrifice whatever they can in order to bring themselves closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, this shows how deteriorated they were, and how bad they became as time went on, that they kept getting involved, that not only did they worship idols, but they started making their own idols, involving themselves in their own thoughts, and thinking to themselves how they wanted to fashion them, or what they wanted to do to them. Eventually, it came to the point where they couldn't think about Kadosh Baruch Hu anymore. It was just about the idols themselves, right? And that's where it ended. V'chein, you cannot invoke it. V'chatal mashkin, therefore they are going to pass away as the morning clouds pass away, as the dew that goes away early. Holich kemotz yisoer, they're going to be driven like the shaft that the wind blows through me, going out of the threshing floor of Asha Me'aruba, like the smoke out of a window, the smoke out of a chimney window. They're going to be gone as if they weren't there in the first place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make the land desolate of them, as if there's not going to be anything left, and everything is completely gone. Okay, that's that. Plus the Dalit. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Me'aretz Yisrael. I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has been your ruler, your God from the land of Egypt. You should not know any other gods. Moshiach Ayin Belti. There is no other person that can save you except for me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm the only one that really gave you deliverance from anywhere else. I knew you in the desert, in the land when you desired many, many things. When they were fed, meaning referring to the Jews, and they were satiated, it was too much. And therefore they forgot me. As we said three times already before in Hosea, the problem with the Jews is that they kept getting involved in things that they should not have been involved with, which is riches, their wealth. They amassed too much wealth for this to be there. I became to them like a lion, like a leopard that goes upon the way, standing in that part. Now there's a difference between a lion and a leopard. Obviously the lion is going to sit upon the road and is not scared of anything whatsoever. The leopard is always scared. He has to hide a little bit and puts himself in other positions in order to succeed. There's no way for him to get anything in a regular way. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to be like them in two different ways. Number one, I'm going to be like a full lion, ready to roar and destroy them wherever they go. But secondly, I'm also going to lie in wait for them, that if they go in a certain direction, they're going to be killed in that way. Ep-Gishem, I will meet them, kidov shakul, like a bear that is bereaved of its young, meaning that doesn't have anything left. The ekras, the gorli bum, I will rip open the enclosed heart that they have, the oklem sham kilabi, and I will eat them there, like the lion, like the wild beasts of the field that tear things apart. That's how I'm going to make it happen. Now again, remember that Bavel was referred to as being a lion. That we definitely have. That's considered a shakal. The bear is a reference to, anybody remember? Persia and Mede. That's correct. Because they look like the bears, they act like the bears, etc. That's the idea behind it. The strength of the bear. I'm sorry? What do you mean?
He's making the Chicago Bears.
They don't lose all
this. Just know, by the way, that is the third joke that someone has made that I have not gotten today that I thought was a serious. Okay, I don't want to say what the other two were. Oh my God.
Some days you're not on the ball. It's okay.
I had my watch and somebody said, like, I have no time for this. And I was just like, I was spaced out. I'm like, what does that mean? And so I'm sorry. That was a good call. Anyway, but that's the idea behind it. There's an interesting little line over here that the Miyamoli's bringing down. I'm just going to tell you like this. The affliction of Bnei Yisrael is compared to like a bereaved bear, right? Which is supposed to be something like fury and fierce grief that it goes, it mangles anything that's got. The bear's ferocity, he says, is explained as follows. In the fetal stage, the cub is enveloped in a thick sack, which it sheds slowly at birth to avoid being harmed. This birth process requires immense exertion on the mother's part and is very painful. In like measure, therefore, when its young is killed, there is a corresponding outburst of grief and rage because of the amount of pain it went through in order to give birth. I didn't know that. Bears usually give birth in the spring right before they come out from the, what's it called? Sometime in the winter, I should say. That's what they don't really hibernate, bears, but they do have a stage where they sort of slow down their breathing. It's not exactly hibernation, right? But they do have something that slows down, and that's when bears give birth, when it's there. I never realized that it was extremely painful, but it does make sense. The mother bear does not move for almost a month or
birth to after she gives
so
birth.
So mammals, I would assume that all mammals are experience pain when giving birth, just like humans experience pain.
Yeah, but there's very big differences, like the giraffe or, you know, bigger animals just give birth, plop it on the ground, and they're able to walk. They're still walking the whole time.
Right.
The bear doesn't do so. The bear does not go in the middle, yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, we don't talk about such things. But I guess that's the idea, that it's like a bear who just lost its young after it took so much for it to be able to give birth to. It is crazy. I read once that there are bears, there are brown bears, that do not feed. They don't eat themselves for almost 5 months
in
during a certain part. They as soon as the cubs are born, they nurse, and they lose like hundreds of pounds when they're inside their little caves or whatever it is. Polar bears do the same thing. It's crazy. It's unbelievable what they do for their kids. And Tuzik Kassin says, Shehetzka Yisrael Kibida Azrecha. You've destroyed yourself. You know, you destroyed yourself in Yisrael, right? Because I still want to help you, even though you don't deserve any help from me. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. Ahi Malkecha, I will be your king, but Eifo. So where is he, Yoshi Yaakov HaKol HaRecho, who's going to be able to save you among all your cities? Yoshi Yaakov HaKol HaRecho, all those judges who you said, I want a king, I want princes. I am your only king, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. And since you asked for a king, has that king saved you? What has that king done for you? Obviously nothing. I gave you a king in my anger, and I took away from you in my fury. You obviously had rulers, but you didn't use them well. The sin of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is stored away. The idea is that it's so firmly knotted and completely like filled with it, there's no way for me to completely take away something from it. It's compared to one who owns bundles of bad coins should go to the storekeeper, add to their value, and exchange them for good coins, right? If you have bad coins that cannot be used in any which way because they're too rubbed down and you can't see the face or whatever it is, add to it so that somebody will take the good coins with the bad and he'll deal with all of them to get rid of them, because otherwise nobody's going to take it. That's the idea behind it. This person has done things that just you can't get away from. The pains of giving birth will come upon him. His son is not wise. This is not the time to carry the birth stool of children and not to be involved. Meaning, during that time, it's time to just give birth and be gone rather than get involved and to keep doing what you're doing. I will get them out from the hands of death. I'll redeem them from death. The idea is your words lead to death. I'm going to knock you down and destroy you into Sheol. Regret will be hidden from my eyes, and I'm not going to regret anything that you do. That's the idea behind it. So look what it says. Bein achem yafri, he will be fruitful and he will flourish. Yavo kadim comes along the eastern wind. Ruach Hashem, the wind of Hashem, Mimibar Ola, is going to come from the desert. Yevos Shakoro, it's going to dry up the sources. The Akram Mayano, and it's going to dry up all of the springs. Uyusa Utsar Kokle comes, and it's going to plunder the vessels all over the place. We know, as a reference to Sennacherib coming and taking over all of those areas. So finally, the final parak deals with the final destruction of the Shomron. Tesham Shomron Himorsa Bilohel. Shomron is going to bear her guilt because she rebelled against her God. The Kharav Yipolu, they're going to fall by the sword. Olam Yerutashu, their children will be crushed. Bahor Yosef Yuvko, the women who are pregnant will be torn open for the children to come, to not be done. Shuvah Yisrael Hashem Alakecha, Tzichashaltav Avonecha, do tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you've tripped up in your sins. That's the idea behind it. In other words, the line behind it is not just tshuva, but rather return. Come a little bit closer, and come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu so that you understand what you've done wrong, and what you can do in the future. And the idea behind it, that's the idea that we refer to over here. Okay. The idea is there's something regarding Reuven, but we didn't need that over here. Okay, the other line that we have over here is Pasuk Gimel, Kehui Machem Devarim, the famous line of take with you words, Mishuvu Al Hashem. That's how people say the song Kehui Machem Devarim Mishuvu Al Hashem, right? You should, but they do Tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after you take those words. Imrui Love Kolti to Avon, say to him, say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you should forgive all of these sins of the Kach Tov, take all the good. What is Shalom Parvus Vatenu? What?
What are words you're supposed to say?
Any words that you can in order to improve yourself and make yourself better. That's the idea behind it. Anything that you can do. And then the line is, this is the line that we use to say that instead of bringing korbanos, we now daven. Is our lips. I know, but this is the pasuk that we get it from. When we say that nowadays, we say that there's tefillah.
It's from Matilah.
Really? Which one?
The Malach, last pasuk.
Which one? We have one right there.
Didn't this come before Tehillah?
No, it's on the Zohar now. It's okay.
In the order of...
What's Tehillah?
It is, but that wouldn't be it. That's not it. Usually, you know, Shalom Baruch Hu.
This is a different...
How does it say it?
Sorry, no, never mind.
Close. But the line is in Shalma Parmas Fasenu. That's what ends up coming from.
Can you explain that again?
Unbelievable. The line is that we're saying Unishalma Parim Svasenu. And we pay our cows, in other words, the korbanos that we should have, with our lips. We dive into our Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that takes over for the korbanos that we were want to bring. The things that we should end up bringing, things that we should end up having. That is exactly what it refers to. And that's the tshuva that we should have. That's the kichui machem divarim. The yud gimel midas harachamim. The fact that we say shmona esrei. The fact that we daven. All of those things are now our decisions to be able to get ourselves closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and make us daven. Have our davening. So look in Pasuk Dalet. Ashur lo she'enu. We are not going to be saved from Assyria. Alsus lo nerkav. We are not riding upon any horses in order to win our wars. Lo namar od Eloheinu lamaaseh yadeinu. We are no longer going to say the work of our hands is our God. Asher b'chol Yerucham Yosom. For in you alone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the orphan that refers to us, will find the rachamim that we need. We're no longer relying on anything else. Our famous army, the nations that were on our side, right? And our own God, in other words, the Avodah Zarah that we had. None of that is going to help us whatsoever. What's up?
This
is the idea behind it. But that's the idea behind it, what it's supposed to be. Okay, that's the idea. Here's the mashal. The people in a certain country sinned against their king, and he was terribly angry. In an attempt to placate him and win his favor again, they dispatched a delegation of the wisest and best known people of the realm. The envoys had to journey very far to reach the distant palace of the king. Once they arrived, however, they had no trouble gaining admittance. They went immediately in. They approached the monarch and pleaded for forgiveness. The king responded favorably to this delegation and pardoned the people. Suppose, however, that some undistinguished pauper had offended the king. Okay? Some nobody would have offended the king. He would have no way of getting a petition to the king to beg for forgiveness. How's he going to travel to the royal palace that was so far away? And even if he went there, how would he get himself admitted into the royal chambers to go and beg to make his plea? But there would be a way. The way is, if one day the king passed through the man's town and proclaimed that anyone can present a petition. Anybody that wants to talk to me can do it today. All the barriers that kept the man from the king suddenly disappeared. That's the shot over here. Normally, the gates of prayers are somewhat shut to the prayers of people that have sinned. But there's one time when that door is open and anybody can do it, and that's when a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, passes by on Yom Kippur during that Teres Mitzvah, whatever you want to call it. And during those days, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is begging you, Shuva al Hashem, that's when you have to say all your words. If you can't do it any other time, do it at least then. What's up, Dave?
If the gates of prayer are closed for sinners, then what's the point of Shuva?
To get those gates opened again. Meaning, sinner is only a sinner until he feels that he does harata, vidui, etc. And then he can open up the gates.
If I'm sinning, it doesn't matter that the gates are closed. It only matters that they're available when I decide to do
shuva. Speaking too black and white. The guy is doing a sin, but he doesn't consider it a sin. You know what I'm saying? Or he's doing something which is could be done. He's doing a mitzvah, but he could definitely do it better. There are ways of doing shuva. There are things that a person has to do. Like, yes, I went to davening this morning, but I didn't concentrate on my davening so much, and I spaced out during much of my davening. Right? I could do that a lot better. So in that sense, I davened. Yes, I davened. I know. I got I got that done. But I could do better than that. And that's what I mean. Even then, there's a concept of tshuva, and that's where the gates are open, right? But you're still doing tshuva. You're still feeling, you're still trying to get yourself even higher. I'm going to heal their the fact that they turned away. I will love them generously, because my anger has turned away from them and is completely gone from being over here. The idea is that when a human being makes peace with the enemy, somebody that he absolutely hates, there's always going to remain a little bit of animosity in the heart. He may have made peace with them, but deep down inside, he still has something inside them. Somebody said something to me that was an unbelievable lie. An unbelievable lie. And I know why they did it. They were trying to protect themselves, and they had gotten in trouble for something, and they were putting the blame on me. But it was an unbelievable lie. I know for a fact that this person was lying. But nonetheless, I took it. I said, I understand how you feel, right? And it's not a problem. Now, later on, the person apologized to me. She told me, you know, I'm sorry, it came out wrong or whatever it was. I understood. I still have it deep down inside. I have no problem with her. I'm never going to show her a different type of face. But deep down inside, I know she lied straight to my face in order to save face. It's hard. I want to forget. I do. And I work.
Will.
I really
eventually.
Did work. And I will. Yeah, eventually I'll be able to do it. But I just said that I don't have it yet. And I'm still, you can hear, I'm seething about it because it was clear that she was just trying to save herself. And not thinking of any ramifications of what she was doing. That's the idea, Keisha. The idea is that, yes, when a human being does that, says a Kaddish Baruch Hu, I'm going to be generous. I'm going to do even more so. I'm going to love them, and even though they did horrible things to me, I'm still going to love them as if nothing had happened. The beauty of tshuva is the ability to take away any bad that there could possibly be, that everything bad was taken away completely as if it never happened, or the craziest stuff, that the Aveira itself turns into a mitzvah. We don't even understand that. But tshuva me'ava turns it into an actual mitzvah, that you look back, and not only do you not see a chait, you see the guy putting on tefillin, wrapping tefillin and davening during that time when he was doing a chait. It's crazy. But that's the idea behind it.
It's like a win-win. It's like, all right, do whatever you want, and you know what? Then like one day you wake up, I went to shuvah, and I'm turning all to mitzvahs, and now like,
that's the argument that David Matzamek has. I'm glad he's not here right now. That we have all the time. Literally, that is what we argue about all the time in Rav Tzadok. When we learn Rav Tzadok, that's exactly what Rav Tzadok seems to say. He's like, don't worry. Once you do shuvah, you are the greatest man alive.
Yes,
Shuvah Me'av is a Gemara in Yuma, pay something or other. But yes, it is a Gemara. But obviously, there are always, right, albeit, what I want to say, there are always,
it's better just
can't think of the word
all the time and not to do any of errors and then
so sad. Either way, yes, there's something that is preventing us from doing it. If you do the Avera thinking I'll do tshuva later,
obviously not. That doesn't work.
Yeah, let me tell you a quick story. Just a very quick story. There's a guy who my brother, one of my brothers, I don't want to say which brother, but one of my brothers knew, so that way you have no idea who it is, right? And the guy had a friend, and this friend ended up leaving the yeshiva to go to the academy, and his line was, okay, I told you the story. The line that the guy said is, I want to go to the academy because I know I'm going to flip out when I go to Israel. I don't want to have a lot of fun now while I stay.
Alright.
That's the line that he said. Okay, so he went for totally Shem Shemayim reasons, right? And he did. He did everything that he wanted to do, and everything that was out there, he went and did. And he did. He ended up going to Israel, and he flipped out. And he became, you know, like a big, you know, went into colon, went everything. And I sat there, and I knew this story. And I always thought to myself, I don't get it. I just don't get it. The guy married one of the wealthiest girls in America. Like a wealthy, wealthy girl. And he was being paid for it, and everything was there. And I was sitting there, and I'm like, I don't get it. I thought the because that was, you can't see that. But I knew this, but I never said anything to anybody. And I never said anything. And then I found out. One day, his parents called him up and said, his parents and Mo, I should say, his parents all called him up and said, you've been cut off completely. You're on your own now. Do what you want to do. And the guy went from like, to I'm not saying that this is the reason why or anything like that. Not that. But at least I looked at it and I was like, it makes sense to me now. Like, it makes sense to me. There's no way that a guy could get everything that he wanted in this world when it seems that he did it with that tshuva in mind. I couldn't understand it whatsoever. I can't give other details because Binyamin's close to the age of one of them, I think. I can't tell. David, too. I don't think David knows him, though. I think you might know him. But either way, I could not believe it. it, but it happens to be that it's a weird ending to the story, a very, very weird ending. Anyway.
He was still good even after he got
still up? Good. He's still good. It's just not the same. It's just not the same. Anyway, what's it called?
Even if you say, like, oh, there's a tuba, still the tuba for that.
There's certainly, there's an ability to do tuba. There's no question. Everybody can do tuba for everything. It's just, you get into difficulties once you get to a certain level.
But you can't actually do, you told a story, David knows this person, right? You told a story in the academy when they would teach about, like, doing tuba. There was a guy who was you know, some friends, and, you know, to be cool, they went to the Nagosha instead of, which is the one that's used to be Nagosha instead of, Devon.
Right.
Like, not, you know, like, anyway, he ordered, egg and cheese.
Yeah.
He took a bite. And, he felt something crunchy in his mouth. And he opened up the sandwich, there's bacon. Because egg and cheese, at Nagosha, you know, it's the bacon egg and cheese. He was so shaken up by that, he spit it out, went to the bathroom, gagged himself, poured himself, threw up, and never ate at Nacho's restaurant ever again. Yes, no.
That's interesting, man. That's very interesting. Plus, it's both. Aya Kitalis on that man is Rebel Yasha.
What?
That man is Rebel Yasha. Is that the end of it? Aya Kitalis all. I will be to Yisrael like dew. Now, we've seen this line before. Dew means instead of rain. We ask that Kaddish Baruch Hu, God, you should be rain for us. And Akash Baruch says, wait, you don't want to be rain. Sometimes you want rain. Sometimes you don't want rain. Rain is sometimes a bad thing for people. And people look outside and like, oh man, it's raining again. You don't want rain. You want it to be like dew. Dew everybody's okay with. If you have a little bit of moisture, that's okay. I will be like cow, Yisrael. I will always be there for Bnei Yisrael when they need me. I'm always there. Yifrach HaShoshana. They will blossom like a rose. Yashua Shav Kalavanon. And strike the roots. Right, like the Arzei Lebanon, like the cedars of Lebanon that nobody's going to be able to take out. I will make sure that Bnei Yisrael are going to be planted in the ground and nothing will be able to take it out, and they'll always be connected to it. Yohu Yom Kosov, the branches will spread out, Yikazayis Hodo, the beauty will be the beauty of an olive tree, the Reach Lo Kalavanon, and there will be a smell like the Arzei, like the cedars of Lebanon. There will be a fragrance that will go out from all over. That's what Bnei Yisrael are going to be like. They will dwell in his shadow when they return. Yechayu Dagon. They will make grain grow. The Yifrachu Gagofen. And it will sprout out like grapevines. Zichro Kiyein Levanon. And their memory, their remembrance will be like, again, the wine of the Lebanon. The smell that goes through Ephraim. Mali Odla Sabin. Why do you still have to deal with idols? Says Ephraim to their other people. Why do you guys still deal with idols? And Yanisi. Bashu Renu. I will answer him. Now I will look in on him. Says Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Kivrosh Ra'anan. I am like a brosh is like a fir tree, F-I-R, like a big fir tree that is very shady. Me, many paryachanim saw. You'll be able to have your fruit from beneath me. Everything you'll have will be underneath my power. Me, Chacham Yevelei, who will be wise enough to understand this? Nafal Yedeim, understanding enough to know it. Ki Yeshon Darkei Hashem, that the ways of God are straight. Yesadikim Yochubam Poshim Mikashulubam. Yesadikim will go in those ways, while sinners will fail in those ways. There's a lot of different things that the Gemara says from this line. Specifically. What do we learn from this? So the Gemara says, okay, that means that there's one path. It said he can go in that path. He didn't bring it down over here.
Hold on, I'll
say I don't remember.
Nazir, so give him a
makes sense. Makes sense. It goes like this. The Gemara says that you can build meal for bombs. It goes like this. There's one path and a guy goes on it. So for example, you gotta think of three examples. One idea is where the guy goes to do, two people go to do the korban pasah. One guy ends up going on one road and it's tahor. The other guy goes on a different road and becomes tameh and can't bring the korban pasah. If he's a tzaddik, he'll be still going to go on the right path. If he's a sinner, he'll go on the wrong path. So the Gemara says to that, wait, it's not the same path. It's not the same path. That can't be. So the Gemara says, this is it. A guy goes into a bed, and he has his wife and his sister inside his bed. His wife and his sister. And he's together with his sister instead of his wife. The man who's a tzaddik is together with his wife. The man who's a sinner ends up being together with his sister.
The person would be with neither. In that situation?
Yes. Yeah, I'm just the example. But tzadikim yokobam, a tzadik will deserve to be together with the right person, while posheya is ends up being in the wrong way. And if you look at it, it's not my fault. I didn't mean to do it. It's weird to say such a thing. But regardless, that's the idea behind what happens in such an idea, in such a case. Oh, there's so much things over here. All right. Regardless, the idea behind it is all this, that everything has a way of being correct and right and all good if treated in the right way. If treated in the wrong way, poshim yikach lulav. Then poshim will just find a way to mess up through the Torah and find more and more ways to mess up further and further and further. That's the what they'll end up doing. Okay. Let's get into Yoel. Yoel is an unbelievable person. We have a lot of kashas about who Yoel was. There's some people say that Yoel was the son of Shmuel and Avi. Shmuel and Avi had a son by the name of Yoel. Some say this was his son. If so,
say his sons weren't worthy.
100%. That they were not like Shmuel, the pasuk says. And the reason why is because they hired their own gaboyim and stayed in place to judge cases. People had to go to them instead of like Shmuel did, who went out to other people. But there's no question. It came from his own curse. Shmuel told Eli HaKohen, right, that your sons do not go in your ways based on a nebuah. And Eli had said, if you don't tell me, then God should do to you what God said to me. It was a curse that Eli gave to Shmuel, that his children were not that way. Were Shmuel's kids sinners? Says the Gemara in Shabbos Nunheim Abayz, Kola Omer B'nei Shmuel Chatu, Eino El Atoh. That's what the Gemara says. Anybody says
that
they sin, Eino El
Atoh. Saying that there are Navi whose nebuah was published in Tanakh.
Yeah, that's a totally different story, right? Totally different story. And also, the pasuk says straight out they took bribes when they judged cases. And that's what Chazal say. No, they didn't take bribes. Yeah, they didn't take bribes. They were willing to sit and take money for their judging, unlike Shmuel, who never took money from anybody.
Either the Midrashim are not consistent with one another.
Correct.
Or Yoel is a grandson or a descendant of Shmuel?
Yoel was actually, according to this Medrash, he was mamish the son of Shmuel and Avi. Does anybody have it straight out in one of the portions?
Yeah, right.
Straight out there?
Shmuel and
Avi.
Yeah?
Okay, he does say that Shmuel and Avi. Others say that he prophesied much later, that Yoel was somebody else entirely, and that Yoel ben Pisuel, right, was referred to a real person by the name of Pisuel. He prophesied during the time of Yehoram, the son of Ahab, right? This would have been during the days of Bani Saul. Yeah, that makes sense. According to the Alkud, the reason why he called Pisuel is because he would groom his hair very, very long. It was like the hair of a Pisuel, right? And that's what it referred to.
Wouldn't it make more
right?
sense?
That's that.
Yeah, that happened later on because, like, in the time of David, everything was okay.
There was a 3-year hunger, and there was a tremendous hunger during the days of Yoel as well. So it could be that they equate with one another. They're talking about the exact same one. Either way, regardless, that's the idea behind it. Others say that Pesuel is referred to Shmuel and Avi because he was Patu El. He enticed God to listen to his petitions, and that's the idea behind it. There's a couple other things that it says over here. Regardless, we have no idea. And there's no way. The Ibn Ezra says straight out, we have no idea where the prophet Yoel went. We can't tell. We can't tell anybody anything whatsoever. There are others that say the Seder Olam says that he lived during the days of Manasseh, and that's that. Some people say that his burial place is in Gush Kalav. Anybody been there? Gush Kalav. No, Gush Etzion is different. Up north. Gush Kalav. No, but that's supposed to be there.
That's the place where they saw the milk of the goats coming out.
Maybe that is. No, that sounds right. But it says it's on the north side of the valley, and a walk of 500 amos brings one to his grave. That's where it is. I don't know, where that is, but we'd have to check it out. What? Probably check it out. Probably check it out. So look at what it says. Plus the face. Shumazos has a Canaan, Bazinu Koyosh, all right. Listen to this, O elderly men, and all the people of the land. Everybody should give an ear. Have you ever seen anything like this in your days or in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about a Sapiru. You should tell it over your children. Your children should tell it over to their children. And their children should tell it over to the next generation after that. So he says, you got to remember, if you go all the way down, go see, has there ever been anything like this? Now, what is he referring to? Some say he's referring to the sins of the land and the things that people were doing which were evil and that there were bad things that were going on. That's one way to be able to say that's one thing that's there. The other thing is that there was a tremendous locust swarm. that happened in the days of Yoel. Now, unlike the Arbet that happened by the days of Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitzrayim, the Arbet there was Arbet. It was one locust swarm. It says, Lo haya kamo v'lo yiyeh.
What is it?
Trevor Yoel.
Oh, you have it?
And underneath there's a map, how to get there. With details, if you go to Meron and you go to Shemar Rafai, it tells you how to get there from there.
Oh, it's right by Reb Meir. That means it's right by Tveria.
Yeah. All of the,
Wait, how is that possible?
This is all very hard. No, that's very Meron.
No, that's what I'm saying. Look, right there, it says Kever de Reb Meir. The Kever of Reb Meir is in Tveria.
Zoomed out, probably. Oh, whoops. Here. And this tells you how to get there, where it is.
Oh, that's beautiful. I don't remember the different things up there. Oh, that stinks. All right, we'll do it later, but that's amazing. All right,
I don't regard the Aleph Tishrei. Somehow they know that. Is it vegetarian for them?
No.
I didn't read it. Tariq Tira Aleph Tishrei.
That's weird.
I don't know how where that's from.
I don't know why that is. Anyway, so he's telling the following. This was different from the Arbet by the days of Mitzrayim. Arbet by Mitzrayim was just Arbet. Here, there were four different types of locusts that were damaging the land, and they were all huge. There was the Arbet, there was the Gezem, there was the Yelek, there was the Tassil. Okay? All of them were different types of locusts that were destroying everything. So, I don't know the different types between them, but they were tremendously what's it called?
Very
destructive. And they took away everything. I'm sorry?
Who's on that?
I think they're all kosher. I think all of them are kosher.
True, because it says by Arbe,
Well, Arbe is the general name for locusts.
No, it's by Mitzrayim, right?
Yeah.
It says they're all non kosher.
What? Why does it say they're non kosher?
I forgot what I'm over here.
Maybe because you're thinking that they wanted to eat them? But that's the Egyptians. They don't have to eat kosher. The Jews didn't have to eat kosher.
No, I'm pretty sure it's about Arbe.
You could check that. I don't remember that offhand, but it could very well be. It's very possible. Either way, regardless, it says over here, right, all of the Arba has eaten everything. And there's literally nothing left. And he says to them, have you ever seen anything like this before? And we have never seen it. Now, some people say that these four locusts are a reference to the four kingdoms that were going to rule over Bnei Yisrael. And that the reference to all the four locusts was, again, to Babel, Paras and Madai, Yavon, and Edom. And that's what it refers to over here. That each one of them did evil things, and each one of them was something that showed, have you seen anything like this? And this is the reference. Yes, there are Gazam, Achol, Arbet, Pazitalik. Everything that the Gezam left over, the Arbet took. Yes, there are Arbet, Achol, Yelek, and the Yelek took. Yes, there are Yelek, Achol, Chasil. Everything was taken by the Chasil. Now again, in our Medrash, it's the same way. Any riches that Bnei Yisrael had left after Babel, and Paras and Madai, and Yavan came, Edom came and took away from us. Any riches that we might have had at the very, very end, they were able to take away from us and destroy us completely. That's the idea behind it. But in Parshat Shad, it's so simply put, right, that all of these animals took one after the other that destroyed the land. Hakitsu Shikorim, awake, you drunkards, the people that are drunk, not thinking about what you want to do. Uvekuve Lili, you should cry and you should wail. Koshos Yain, all the people that are drinking wine, Atis, upon all of the sweet wine, Kinikras Mibika, you're now going to be denied it because all of the wine is going to be gone. You have no ability to get drunk anymore. Maybe you're going to cry, but it's for the wrong reason. They're going to get up in the morning, they're going to be like, give us wine. We don't have any wine. Ah! And then they're going to cry. Only after they realize that they can't get the drunkenness that they've gotten to before, that's when they're all of a sudden going to wail. So the prophet is, number one, making fun of them, and number two, saying, you should have cried in the first place. You people are drunken in the taivas of this world and not thinking about the good stuff here. You guys are at fault for doing what you've done. Goy Allah Arsi, there was a nation that has come upon my land. Upsum, they are mighty to aim this world without any number. Shinav Shini Aryeh, their teeth are like the teeth of a lion. Umesalos Lovey Lo, and they have the fangs of a young lion. Again, the reference to the Arabic. The locusts taking everything. They're not literally, did they have huge